First book of Kings, the first book and the second book of Kings in the Hebrew Bible are one book. Well, Adam, why did they break it into two when they translated to English? They didn't. They translated it into two books when they translated it into Greek. I don't think I've talked about the Septuagint in a while. The Septuagint, and if you see, like sometimes you'll see LXX, which is the abbreviation for 70, Septuagint. The Bible of Jesus and the disciples was the Septuagint. Most times when they're quoting out of the Septuagint. Hebrew wasn't widely spoken in the time of Jesus. Aramaic was. Mostly because of after the goings on of it's chronicled in the book of Chronicles and also in Jeremiah, they go to Babylonian captivity and they spoke Babylonian, I would imagine. And then of course several successive empires after that they were. Subject to the political this and that maneuverings. But in Jesus' day, and it's widely believed that Jesus spoke Aramaic, but they had the Hebrew Bible, but it was kind of like, Catholics use Latin more for traditional than actually, it wasn't the spoken language. They had the Hebrew Bible, and it was changed into Greek. It was translated into the Greek language because people didn't speak Hebrew. And so when you change anything from Hebrew to any other language, it's usually, Hebrew is very condensed. You can say a lot with a few words and a few syllables. Our rings that we have, our wedding rings, they say, it's got like about 11 characters, I think, and it says, I'm my beloved's and she is mine. And you wouldn't be able to write it down in English with as few characters. But of course, if you said it in Greek, it would take a lot longer to say it. It's a very precise language. And so, believe it or not, when they wrote it, it was on vellum, animal skins, and they could only be so long because of just how they manufactured it, so they had to put it on two different scrolls to fit it all in. So 1 and 2 Samuel's that way, 1 and 2 Kings that way, and 1 and 2 Chronicles that way. Three books in the Hebrew scriptures and six books in the Greek, but we get our kind of, from English, from the Greek. So there you go. it's a continuation of Samuel, and 1 and 2 Chronicles is not a continuation. It kind of goes back and talks about what happened during the time of the kings, kind of like from a heavenly perspective, and only Judah. We're going to see a divided kingdom happen in this book. The unified kingdom is only Saul, David, and Solomon. Solomon's sons, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, which isn't Solomon's son. The kingdom breaks in two at that point. 10 tribes in the north, 2 in the south, and away we go. We'll get to that. But when we're talking about Chronicles, it's only the kings of the south, which is Judah. Now, the kings in the south, you'll see they're all in the Davidic dynasty, all of them. I think there's 8 that are good kings that get a good report card. And even some of them, you think, oh, that's a good report card, huh? It's not perfect. And we'll see that, warts and all, the good kings. And then when the kings are bad, they're very bad. In the north, the kings go from bad to worse. After a few hundred years, God's had a belly full of it, and he just sends them all into captivity in Assyria, and that's it. End of story. But, so we'll talk about the lost tribes, which is a myth. And I'll show you why when we get there. Everyone thinks, oh, there's 10 lost tribes. And I wonder if we're descendants of the... No. No. And I'll show you why that's like a say mythos. But anyway, 1 Kings chapter 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years. So it continues where 2 Samuel left off. But he gat, they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. He must have been attending church here, huh? Wherefore his servant said to him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. Now, it sounds kind of seedy. It's not. So they sought, and I'll show you scripturally that's not. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. Now, I think this is the Shulamite in Song of Solomon. I think this is the girl that Solomon is just all wild about. You can't prove it, but I think this is what that's about, okay? I think our boy Solomon sees this girl, and he is smitten. She's very beautiful. It says that in verse 4. The damsel was very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Biblically, sense knew her. He had no carnal relationships with her. He's probably close to 70 at this time. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen, 50 men to run before him. Now, before we follow off on Adonijah, let's rehearse the other ones. What's the name of the one who Absalom killed because he raped Tamar? It's another A one, Amnon. And then Absalom rebelled against David, and he was killed. Chileab was another one of the sons, I think by, my mind's not working. Remember the one who was married to Nabal, Abigail? I think Chileab was her son. He must have died because we never read anything about him. I just think he just passed off the scene. And so the next one in line is Adonijah. And he's not going to be king. But he exalts himself as king. So there's always these intrigues and stuff. And David, for as great a man as he was in so many ways, his family is just not good. Okay, just he doesn't have a son who's has wisdom or virtue or any good thing to be said about him, except Solomon. And even Solomon, you know, we grade him and look at his report card. It's not all A's. Just telling you, he gave us some wisdom. Boy, the wisdom of Solomon, the things he wrote down, and you think, oh, if he only followed his own advice. many of us are good at dispensing advice, but just it's very important to me. I want to teach something, but I want to set that example with my life. Now, you could say, "Well, Adam, you do or you don't." Whatever you feel like saying, it depends on probably what it is. But I will tell you this: if you're going to go to a Bible study, the person who's going to teach it is going to be a sinner. Deal with it. And he's going to have, or if it's a woman's Bible study, or she's going to have some parts where they've got things worked out and some parts where not so much. So I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to stand and say, you know, you need to be doing this and this and this and this. But I was talking about forgiveness on Sunday morning. Let no bitterness and, you know, let the sun go down in your wrath. That's some we've lived by, pretty much, right? I mean, you know, I think I can. And some things, you know, the scripture says this, and I just think, well, let's quickly move on to the next verse, because I'm just like everybody else. I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling and trying to do what it is God's instructed us to do. And some things, you know, it's been a while. I've been at this a while, so I'm not like some, you know, recently saved, converted, and I, you know, some of the rough edges have gone away. Hopefully, at this point, I mean, you'd imagine. I don't live a scandalous life, but there's things that I really need to work on. Isn't that comforting? I mean, really, you know, comforting in this way. Because you're struggling, you're saying, oh, I wish I could just, what? Struggle some more? It's called life. We're living it. We're doing it. It's called salvation. We're getting on with it. But I don't want to hold myself up an example like, you know, how come you guys just can't be holy like me? That's kind of almost like squashes you, makes you feel like, oh, I wish I could. I wish we could, and I wish we'll just, hey, let's just, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt, and, you know, because that's what you'd want, a little golden rule, and just like, you know. Anyway, I don't know how I get along on that. Adonijah, son of Haggith. Okay, he exalted himself. Anyway, dad's old, he doesn't even know what's going on. I think I'll just make myself king. He prepared him chariots and horsemen, 50 men to run before him. His father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he was also a very goodly man. All David's kids are really handsome guys, huh? Absalom, we heard, there was no blemish in him from head to toe. He was like perfect. His mother bare him after Absalom. So Haggith had Absalom, and then she had Adonijah. And his dad had never, you know, brought the rod of discipline down on his behind. That's what he's saying. He's never displeased him, saying, why have you done so? I think that's such a mistake. Certainly I don't, I'm not in for a beating, but a little pat on the behind with a stern voice, that goes a long way. There's only, Solomon gives us several in Scripture, and there's about, I think it's like six or seven times where it talks about child rearing in Proverbs, and it always says beat him. if you hit him with a rod, he won't die, you know what I mean? And of course it's not talking about, when we say beat and when Solomon says beat, it's not the same. We're not talking about beating in any sense of like, you know, child abuse, of course. Of course, but you'd know that. I have known kids who were spanked and kids who weren't, and it's, I can almost always tell. Sorry, I can. Now, some kids, her dad was kind of a disciplinarian. Did he have a spank his little princess? I think the threat was enough. She wasn't like me. The threats didn't. No, you better come bigger than threats. Okay, I had to be. But I will tell you this: when we talk about this, me and Suze are both devoted to our parents, and we're not either one of us abused. And they brought us up with firm discipline. That was good. Kids need some boundaries, and they're going to wander until they bump into some boundary and carom back into the normalcy. But you got to find out. And Adonijah never had any boundaries. Dad never said, "Hey, son, what's up? What do you think you're doing?" It's not a good thing, and this is the result. He conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. Remember, that's David's nephew. With Abiathar, the priest, and they followed Adonijah. Following Adonijah helped him. And they, following Adonijah, helped him. Okay, so he's got Joab and he's got Abiathar. Now, Zadok's not there. This must hurt David too, like, you know. And Joab, I think he knows he's out of favor with David, so he's, you know, he's camping with okay, I'm going to follow after this guy. He's probably the new, you know, sheriff, and I think I'll see. Joab, he's really a mysterious character to me. He's sometimes really good and sometimes not. But I think he's mostly all about Joab and trying to feather his own nest. And maybe that's too shallow a conclusion, I don't know. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei. Now that's not the curse in Shimei. Remember when David was leaving Bethlehem and Shimei came and threw dust and, oh, go, get thee out, thou bloody man. And we don't know who this is. Is it the same one? Little or no chance of that. And Rei, I don't know. And the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by En-Rogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. So he knows who to invite, and he knows who not to invite. Wherefore, Nathan spake unto Bathsheba. So there's always these undercurrents, this cloak and dagger, these nuanced meetings and this discussion. And it's just, people can't even be forthright. It's kind of sad. And I think David, by his lack of, you know, taking the situation in hand several times, he kind of called this on himself. He didn't really deal with Absalom. He didn't deal with Amnon like he should have. Absalom's waiting, seeing, okay, what's going to happen? Well, Amnon, rape, huh? Boy, we have to stone him. Or at least banish him, do something. So Absalom takes matters in his own hands. I always give Absalom a hall pass for that. Now, he's not a good man. But for that, he just, oh, you can't rape my sister and get away with that. I'll buy that. And Dad did nothing. And then Absalom, you know, he kind of, you know, he was vacillating, you know, should I send for him, should I not, kind of. And when he comes, you can't see my face. And he just didn't deal with it in a forthright manner. He just never takes the situation in hand when it comes to his kids. Now he's got the second rebellion on his hand. And he knows what he's doing. He knows who to invite, who not to invite. So Nathan speaking to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. And by the way, my life too. Go and get, because you don't want to be against Adonijah when he comes into power. Go and get thee into King David, and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. They can't approach this just straightforward. This cloak and dagger stuff, right? Always. Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber. The king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king, and the king said, what wouldst thou? She said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. He hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host, but Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldst tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. Why is all the king's other sons at this, because Adonijah's the top dog. He's the oldest one. He knows Solomon's a threat. He obviously knows that David has said, no, we're going to set up Solomon next to that. And he's got his nose out of joint, no doubt, saying, well, I'm the oldest. I should have the... And it would be like that normally. God had given the plans for the temple to David, saying, your son Solomon's going to build it. God, I can't think of a verse besides that where God implicitly says, Solomon's going to reign after you. But I'm sure it's here somewhere. I don't know it right off the top of my brain. So anyway, so this is the intrigue. This is the how it's going. This is another rebellion. Now this is how she's playing her hand this way. And a little while she had talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet. When he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. Nathan said, my lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Of course he knows the answer to that is no. But this is the intrigue, the way that they're presenting it. But he has gone down this day and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, hath called all the king's sons and the captain of the host, and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him, and say, God save King Adonijah. But me, even me thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called? Is this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who shall sit in the throne of my lord the king after him? Now he knows the answer to all this. He's rehearsing it in such and such a way, and hopefully he's going to get the response that he wants, which is what David does. Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. Obviously, Bathsheba left when Nathan came, because that's how it's done. And she came in under the king's presence, stood before the king, and the king swore and said, as the Lord liveth, and hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, and boy, he had. We can recount it. We can spend the rest of the time rehearsing all things, all the time God had redeemed his soul out of all distress. Even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. Now, that's not going to happen. She knows it and he knows it. It's just what they do. It's a courtesy. She's worried, you know, at the end of verse 21, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. We're going to be against the law. We're going to be persona non grata. You know, everyone knows that you appointed Solomon. So Solomon's life isn't worth anything if Adonijah has his way, and probably Bathsheba also, and probably Nathan. You got to figure. What's he going to do to Benaiah and Zadok? Okay, you know, it's here's your options, guys. You know, come with me or face certain death. But it's not all the guests of this dinner party, they're not all going to die. The way it is, it's set up, when you get the new king in, then the king, all his family, you put them to death, then there's no challengers to... David didn't do that. You know, Saul tried to wipe out David, but when David became king, he didn't do that. He was, gracious but you'll see that along these lines of kings in the north and the south, you know. Okay, I'm the boss now, and we wipe out anyone who could possibly pose a threat. And King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king, and the king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. That's where this is going to take place. And David's mule, you know, the idea is like it's a servant animal, and you riding on it. It's a big white charger, you know, big steed or something. What you're saying is, I, the king, am the servant of the people. It was done. And so, you know, David's mule would be well recognized. Now that Solomon's on it, it says everything you needed to say. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there, king over Israel, and blow ye with the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. That would normally wait until David was dead, but Adonijah's forced his hand. Then, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, Amen. Lord God of my king, of my lord the king, say so too. As the Lord hath been with my lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord, King David. Now, if you said that to Saul, his head would explode. You say that to David, and David's fine with that. I am absolutely sure. And if we're normal, we want our kids to do better than us. We want them to exceed in any area. We want them to be healthier and wealthier and wiser. And, boy, I messed this up. Can you do better, son? You know, and you really want that for your kids. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet, I'm in 38, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihom. Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. The earth didn't really break in two. It's just an idiom. It's just an expression. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, Wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar the priest, came. And Adonijah said unto him, Come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bringest good tidings. No, that's not true. And maybe he is valiant, but it doesn't mean he's going to have good news. Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, Verily our lord King David hath made Solomon king. Boy, that's going to ruin your dinner party, ain't it? And the king had sent with him Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. So now we have two kings. Guess which one's going to stand aside? And it's very obvious, because who's going to, you think you're the king? We were in the victory parade. We saw the whole thing. We saw Zadok was there, and Nathan, and they anointed him, and they blew the trumpet. What do you think you are, you little pipsqueak? You ain't king of nothing. It's kind of evident. He played his hand, and he overplayed it. And don't go against the Lord. Has God been speaking to Adonijah? You're going to be king. Obviously not. God's not schizophrenic. So what's Adonijah following? He's just being self-willed. And this is the end of self-will. It's just, now you're humiliated. Now you're like hosting this big and everyone's there and you're the new shaker and mover. You're shaking nothing and moving nothing. You're nobody. And it's kind of evident to me that this is the person I don't want to be, ever. Self-gloss. You know, just pick yourself up and show everyone that you're somebody. I think Solomon had to be kind of made to do this. I don't think he's full of himself at this point. You know, when he prays later on, what do you want, Solomon? Here it is, 18 years old, blank check from God. I'm a kid. I don't even know how to go in, come in and go out before your people. Can you give me some wisdom here? I don't think that's arrogant at all. Adonijah, arrogant. This is the end of arrogance. Oh, you're a good man. Come in. You bring good tidings. Yeah? David made Solomon king, and the king had sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Cherethites, the Pelethites. They have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon, and they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that ye heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. There's only one. It ain't here, and you ain't on it. I'm adding, that's not what it says. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. Now, what's missing from Adonijah are Cherethites and Pelethites. Okay, he has Joab, but Joab's not going to cause an armed rebellion at this point. I mean, it's kind of obvious. I backed the wrong player. And also, thus said the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid, and rose up and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. That's a refuge place. You're going to kill me. You're going to kill me in the temple. Okay? I think that was pretty wise. His only play he has left. Like I say, he's not going to challenge Solomon. It's David declared it. Nathan's on his side. Zadok's on his side. Benaiah, the Pelethites, the Cherethites. It was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with the sword. Oh, now he's a servant. He will not slay his servant with the sword. Now he's a servant. All of a sudden, King Adonijah, servant of Solomon. And Solomon doesn't promise. This is good. Solomon said, if, condition, he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not an hair of him fall to the earth. I'm not out for vengeance. I know who I am. I'm the king. If he's a good guy, he's all set. No sweat, no harm, no foul. Okay, you want to be king? That didn't play out, but I don't want to kill him. You know, he's my brother after all. We'll let him be. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. I think he's already been wicked. But, you know, again, Solomon's given him the benefit of the doubt. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar, and he came and bowed himself to King Solomon. Solomon said unto him, go to thine house. Now, we're not going to do all of chapter 2. As a matter of fact, I was going to jump in a few verses here, but let's just say that for next time. We'll end there, okay? I think we'll do 2 and 3 next time. We'll see how it goes.